Sawate, welcome to episode 3 of the Dungeon Diaries. Once again, I'm your hostess, Queen Titania. On today's episode, I'll be tackling one of the most frequent questions I think that all dominatrixes get. That question is, how do I become a professional dominatrix? I once wrote a handy-dandy guide to it, and I thought I'd expand on that a bit. Basically, it can be boiled down to 10 easy steps. Those steps are... Step 1. Pick your professional dominatrix name. Mistress Blank is the standard, but you may also want to consider Miss, Ms., Princess, Empress, Tsarina, or other royal titles. Just not Queen. Only one royal title per dom, and I've already taken that one. Step 2. Purchase your wardrobe. A pair of black pleaser boots and a PVC dress from Lip Service will serve you well. If you need a second outfit, consider black lingerie. Make sure the majority of your wardrobe is black, if not all of it. If you absolutely need to be a rebel and you want a secondary color, well, you can consider red, but you should really just wear black. Your hair should be black, your clothes should be black, your pubic hair should be black. Your shoes should be black, your nails should be black, and your soul should be black. Step 3. Decide what your skills are. It's time to pick out what your specialties are. What do you want to say you know how to do? Luckily, it's not hard at all to spank someone, or really whip them. That doesn't take any skill. You definitely don't have to learn anything about that. You just hold the whip up and kind of throw it, but make sure you hold on to it. Of course, the problem is whips are expensive, while you can give a spanking for free, and this is all about taking the cheap road. Take the cheapest way out, and, well, you'll be making more money. Why spend anything on a more expensive whip when you could go cheaper? If you don't want to just spank, maybe buy a $20 flogger from Adam and Eve. I'm sure that'll serve you well. And if you want to go even further, maybe go to the dollar store and buy a ruler. Then you can do teacher-student scenes. Look how you're branching out. You can even do role-play now. That's wonderful. Also, make sure you get a cane. Lots of slaves love caning. If your grandfather is still alive, go ask him if you can borrow his. I'm sure that'll work just as well as those rip-off canes that you're seeing those, quote, BDSM professionals using in their fancy videos. If your grandfather's dead, maybe your parents have it in their attic. Even better, you don't have to ask or feel bad that Grandpa won't be able to hobble around without a cane. Now we're really going somewhere. We've found things that you can do, we've found toys that you can use, and you don't even have to spend very much money on them. See how easy it is to be a dom? This is why so many people are becoming doms. It's just the easiest thing in the world. Even easier than being a stripper, which I'm told is just the easiest thing other than being a dom or a lawyer. So, where were we? Ah, yes. Step 4. You have to decide what your limits and rules are. Are you going to offer things like strap-on play in your sessions? On top of this, you need to decide if you're going to differentiate from the rest of the market by offering something like dominant hand jobs. This is a really common practice in places like Montreal, so if you want to seem like a cultured dom instead of just a brain-dead typical American, maybe you should offer the dominant hand job. That would really make you stick out on the market, and it's something you should totally advertise in any post you make on the internet. Did I say posts? Well, that brings us to step 5. You've got to advertise. Where do real professional dominatrixes advertise? They go to CollarMe.com and FetLife.com. They post a profile stating they're a professional dominatrix, and they just watch all of the sessions roll in. It's really that simple. Of course, when you post those ads, you have to be sure that no one gets to waste your time. Don't talk to anyone without demanding tribute from them first. Tribute is slang for money, so make sure that you don't talk to anyone in this scene without getting paid. You're a dominatrix. Of course you should be paid by everyone for everything. It's just that simple. Make sure you write your profile properly. If you're going to do a profile, you need to tell everyone reading it that they're losers and not worth the time of a goddess like you. Make sure you treat everyone like shit from the opening line, otherwise they're not going to respect you. Who wants to play with a dom who doesn't know that everyone around her is just utterly worthless and contemptible? Exactly. That's how this works. Step 6. Use your webcam to take pictures of you in your new outfit and with your new toys. This is why you want to make sure you get something other than just your hand for spanking. If you can hold up that $20 flogger or that ruler, you've got a prop to use in your photos to really entice people to want to take a session with you. Once you've used your webcam to take those photos, you can post them on your profile. Even more people are going to want to contact you, and even more money's going to roll in. Of course, make sure you do your makeup just like those girls on that website, Suicide Girls. All dominatrixes look like that. Lots of black eye makeup. Remember, everything needs to be black. Now, you should also go on the internet and find some stock images on Google Image Search of sexy heels, whips, chains, and even some slave boys from some dominatrixes like Clips for Sale store or her personal site. It doesn't really matter. They're making a lot of money. They'll be happy if you take their pictures and just use them in your own profile. It's common practice. It's called quid pro quo. They scratch your back and it scratches itself. Perfect. Now, make sure you upload those photos after you've taken them. If you don't upload your photos, what use are they? Everyone will only know you're legit and not just some fake fly-by-night dom, only if you've uploaded your photos. That was step 7, just so you know. Step 8. Find professional and lifestyle doms and ask them to teach you what they know. They're making tons of money. Even the lifestyle doms are making tons of money. How else could they afford to do this just in their personal lives without taking any money from it? They're making tons of money, and, well, we all know how easy this is, so they're making tons of money doing practically nothing. They have plenty of time to teach you pretty much everything they know. Not that it really takes that much effort to learn it. It's so easy. But anyway, contact them and let them know that you're a new dom. Actually, don't even say you're new. You don't want to admit any weakness here. Just say that you're very, very experienced, but you'd love to learn any tricks or, you know, tips they might have for you. They'll be glad to respond and just go on at length about everything or anything they might know. Step 9. Decide your pricing. The average experienced dom charges $200 plus per hour, so you're new. Charge about half of that. $100 an hour is a ton of money. Think about it. The minimum wage is what? $7? I think in most states it's about $7. You'll be making more than 10 times the minimum wage per hour. Think about how much money that is. On top of that, you'll be charging half of what all of those other greedy doms are charging. You'll be making so much more money because you'll be bringing in so many more subs. They won't have to pay those ridiculous prices because, look at you, you know how to spank someone. You know how to tell them how worthless they are. You can make $100 an hour and just completely undercut the entire market. You'll be rolling in dough this way. Think about it. Think how easy that'll be. Isn't that genius? It's amazing that none of those other idiots ever think of that. No, they go on charging some ridiculous amount because they have to pay for a dungeon, or they have to pay for, like, a full wardrobe, or they have to pay for all of these toys. But I've just told you a million ways you can save on that. I mean, why do you need a dungeon? You can just rent out a motel room. Why do you need toys? Rulers, cheek cloggers, hands, spit, that's all cheap or free. And wardrobe, you just need a little shiny black dress. I mean, you're not going to see any of these slaves more than once. They're so worthless, they can probably barely afford the money. So you don't need to be spicing things up, and even if they come back, they're lucky to lick the ground you walk on. So why should you worry about presenting yourself to them? Exactly. You don't have to. Step 10. Start booking slaves. You've done everything else. Book them and make lots of money. Congratulations, you're now a professional dominatrix. Some people will say, well, shouldn't I get training at a place like La Domaine? They offer dominatrix training, and they've been open for like a million years. To that, I say, why bother? Didn't I just show you how easy this is? Any idiot can hit someone and tell them how stupid they are, then spit on them, give them a dominant handjob, and pee all over them. Actually, if you pee on someone before you give them the dominant handjob, you don't even have to waste money on lube. You can just use your pee. Isn't that genius? As you can guess, I'm kidding. Of course, when I posted that guide on my Tumblr, despite the fact that I never post on my Tumblr, and I have about, I don't know, 100 notes on that thing alone, despite having 5 followers, of those 100 people, I think like half of them took it seriously. They thought that this is how you become a professional dominatrix. Some of them knew it was a joke, but there were people who seriously thought that this is what you do. This is all it takes to be a professional dominatrix. For example, someone wrote, think about doing this frequently to pay for school and such. Someone might really take the cheap road, put them at that much risk, and do that to pay for school. And they haven't looked into it. They've just been, you know, thinking and wondering and going, this sounds easy. I could do this and pay for my schoolwork and then never ever think about this nasty fetish stuff again. Anyway, let me tell you why it's not that easy. You might be able to guess from the sarcasm, but it's not cheap. If you're going to be a dominatrix, you're going to need a substantial fetish wardrobe. Slaves have fetishes for things like leather, latex, PVC, stockings, heels. Some have fetishes for gloves. Some have fetishes for long nails. All of these things cost money, even long nails, because guess what? You're going to have to get manicures and probably get acrylics because no one really wants to grow 2-inch fingernails. The wardrobe alone is going to set you back. Even if you go the PVC route, which there's nothing wrong with. A lot of boys love thigh-high PVC boots, PVC corsets, and skirts or hot pants. Not everyone needs a latex wardrobe. In fact, I probably have too much latex. But it's going to cost money, because even a dress from Lip Service is going to cost you about $80. And then there's the boots, there's maybe gloves, there's a secondary outfit, a corset for people with corset fetishes, etc., etc. Then there's your toys. I mean, you're going to need at least 2 floggers, because Florentining is a good thing to do. You're going to need bondage furniture, unless you're in a town where you can rent a dungeon space for an hour, and that's going to cost you $50 to $100 an hour. So, you also have to worry about the fact that if you're new, someone might not want to rent to you. And so you might have to just work out of, say, a hotel room, which isn't the safest thing in the world. And then you'll need all the toys. Because you need to be a traveling dungeon. You need the floggers. You need the canes. You need the crops. You need handcuffs, gags, rope, cuffs. And I don't mean handcuffs. You need leather cuffs, chain. You'll also need to decide, am I going to offer something like strap-on? Will that be a legal risk for me? Is it something that might be de jure illegal? Meaning, according to the letter of the law, it would be illegal, but it's not something the police are likely to arrest me for? Or is it something that in my jurisdiction there might be a war on prostitution, and that could possibly get me arrested? Or, in my jurisdiction, is maybe even spanking someone for money illegal? Because there are states where applying sadomasochistic pain is technically illegal. Do people often get arrested for it? No. But you'll see professional doms get arrested in certain areas. There's one who's on trial in Boston right now. Or at least she was arrested a year or two ago. I don't know if those charges have gone away or not. In fact, I'm not exactly sure what she was arrested for, but it's something that happens every once in a while. You have to think about the legal situation, the legal climate in your area. It's not the simplest thing in the world. There's a lot of articles now about the economy and people becoming professional dominatrixes to try and make a living, but a lot of them haven't given thought to these kind of questions. You'll also need to do things like advertise, and that doesn't just mean posting on Color Me or FetLife. You're going to have to be your own PR agent, your own secretary, your own, well, professional dominatrix. You're going to have to wear many hats. You're going to need to find a good photographer, because guess what? Webcam photos won't just cut it. You may also need to be able to edit pictures or edit video. You're going to have to do a million things. You might also have to have some basic carpentry skills if you don't want to buy lots of, well, expensive dungeon equipment. It's still nice to be able to have some of these, wooden pieces of furniture or toys if you have your own dungeon, or even if you're going to work out of a motel or someplace else. Like, not everywhere is going to have things like a stock that might be a really interesting piece to use in a session, because it's a unique bondage item most doms don't have. You have to think about, well, maybe I can make that on my own. Or maybe I can make my own toys to save a little money there. But these are all skills. If you can't afford all the money, you're going to need to apply your own skill set. And that's not the easiest thing always. On top of that, you've got to think, well, now that I'm going to do this, what exactly am I going to be able to offer? Have you been working as a dom in the past? Have you been in the scene as a lifestyler? Have you, I don't know, maybe been a sub and want to switch? What exactly is your background in fetish? What is your background in kink and BDSM? How exactly do you know how to dom? This isn't easy to do. It may look easy to use a single tail whip, but I personally don't use them. A good one is expensive, and I don't feel that I'm fully qualified to charge my rate and advertise offering single tail. I'm talented in other forms of corporal punishment, so I do those, but single tail is just something that I haven't learned to my own satisfaction yet. I mean, do you know proper rope bondage? Do you know proper rope bondage safety? Because it's very easy to maybe cut off the circulation if you're attempting some fancy shibari and you fuck it up. One of my friends is a fetish model who has been doing bondage for the last, 6 years, and did a shoot with someone who claimed to be very skilled in shibari. What happened? He tied her arms too tight, and, well, he cut the circulation off. For the next couple days, it seemed like there might be a problem with her arm. It seemed like he may have caused permanent damage. Luckily, he didn't. But I hope that illustrates how you need to think before you act. You need to think things through before you decide to become a professional dominatrix. You're going to need so many skills, not just BDSM related. You don't just need to know how to tie someone up. You don't just need to know how to beat someone, how to tickle torture them, how to properly torture their balls, torture their cock, how to do all the little things that go on in the dungeon. You also need to know how to be theatrical, how to project yourself. You need to know how to interact with people. Are you very introverted? Well, how are you going to deal with everything that you need to do to sell yourself as a dominatrix? Because you're now in the business of you. You're selling yourself. And that's not a bad thing. Selling yourself doesn't mean you're some soulless creature. It just means that you are a commodity. You are a brand. And you have to sell it. You have to promote it. Are you going to be able to do that? Do you have those skills? Like I said, you'll be wearing a lot of hats. But you can't just put on the hat. You have to learn how to wear it. So, do you want to become a professional dominatrix? If you do, then think about going somewhere like La Domaine. Think about how much experience you have in the scene already. If you don't have very much, then maybe you should get more involved. Maybe you should actually just get yourself out there and try and learn. Try going to, if not a munch, because you're a little less comfortable meeting other kinksters in that sort of sense, go to an event like the Fetish Flea Market in Providence, where they have classes, or Montreal Fetish Weekend, or Fetish Factory. There's classes at these kind of places. You can learn a little bit more. Or go to the Kink Academy. It's a wonderful website run by Princess Kali. Go there, watch the videos, see if you can do those kind of things. If you can, then maybe you could think about going forward from there. But you also have to keep in mind that this is not going to be easy. That you're not going to have the job security you might have had in the working world. That you're not going to have the security you have in the working world. You're going to be going one-on-one with people you meet on the phone or the internet. You should always have backup. You should never work alone unless you are very, very confident in the person you're seeing. You've seen them before, you know who they are. Because if you're working alone, you're working very, very at risk. That doesn't mean someone has to be in the room with you. But work in a public place, meaning a dungeon or a motel or something like that. Don't just invite someone into your home. Don't just invite someone where they'll know everything about you, where you're vulnerable. Does that really sink in? Does that make you think a little bit? Because it should. You are going to be inviting a stranger into your life. You are going to be turning your back on them at times. You are going to be in a situation that many men explicitly associate with sex. And you'll know that from their emails, because a lot of them will explicitly say they want to fuck you. Do you think that you can handle that situation? If you can, then don't take this as a statement, a completely negative statement. Don't take this as me saying no one should become a professional dominatrix. It's hard, but it can be very rewarding. You can feel, at the end of a session, like you'd never feel at the end of a retail job, or working in a cubicle, or even doing something that you love that isn't professional fetish work. Because you've brought someone's fantasies to life in the space of an hour or two or three. You've maybe helped them do something that they never thought they'd do because they've been married for 20 years and they haven't had sex in 5. You've maybe helped someone do something that they thought society would judge them harshly for. And that feels wonderful. But we all have to be realistic. We all have to step back and think. And I hope this has given people some reason to think. Because this is hard, but it's also amazing work. And I love doing it. And many women and men and intersexed people love doing it as well. Until next time, I'm Queen Titania. Ta-ta.